Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have and always will remain faithful to us. Faithful to us even when our lives don't look so faithful to you. But Lord, from your generous and loving heart, you continue to visit us. You continue to speak to us. You continue to be present among us. You continue to enter in to wipe out our darkness with your forgiveness and the light of your truth. So Lord, as we engage your word this morning, as we hear it spoken into our lives, Lord, may your spirit help us to understand, help us to apply, help us to be restored and renewed by that very word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so how is your hearing? Somebody's got to say what? What? Right? Yeah, we get it. Now that we're past that, right? We're not talking about the hearing that you might need assistance from a hearing aid. We're talking about a different kind of hearing as it relates to the parable this morning, and it's a hearing that comes from your heart. How are you embracing that which is spoken deep inside of you and to you from the Lord? But before we get there, I want to spend a few moments thinking back to some of my time when I served in Lubbock, Texas, in West Texas. If you've ever been to West Texas, you know that there is a great deal of cotton farming that happens in West Texas. My wife is a daughter of a cotton farmer, and she knows more about cotton farming than I will ever know as it relates to that. But I do want to share some lessons that I learned when I was in West Texas as it relates to cotton seed. I would have never guessed before living in Lubbock that there was so much to know about cotton seed. But when I got out there, when I talked to farmers, when I talked to seed salesmen, all which were members of my congregation out there, I learned a great deal. I never knew that you could genetically engineer a seed to make that seed more drought tolerant. But it happened. All of you probably knew that. It's just me, right? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? All right. Thank you in the back. You could also genetically modify the seed to try to prevent any impact that particular insects might make on your crop, like boll weevils and all sorts of things like that. And you know, the better the seed, the more expensive that seed would run the farmer, right? And so the farmer is always evaluating his risk. Do I want to spend a lot of money on the seed in the hopes that it will maximize the impact of my crop? Or do I think there's going to be a lot of hail and no rain, and so on my dry land farming, I'm just going to put brown bag seed, cheap, cheap seed, and hope that it doesn't make the crop and I claim the insurance, right? But then if it rains and it doesn't hail, that horrible seed that's planted has to be harvested by the farmer. And so they're always balancing, do I spend all this money on expensive seed? And one thing they will never do is waste the seed. They will be as meticulous as they possibly can to place that seed exactly in the optimal place in the soil, having prepped it and readied it to receive that seed. Now, we come to Jesus in the parable today. Now, it's always helpful to identify a couple things on the front end of a parable, like what certain things are. And in this case, the sower in the parable is Jesus, and what seed he is sowing is his life-giving word, his powerful, active, efficacious word. That's what he's sowing. Now, when we look at Jesus, it seems in this parable that his seed, though we know it is valuable, we know it is everlasting, we know it is worth more than the most expensive cotton seed ever made, what it seems to be is that it seems like Jesus is a reckless sower. It seems like he's just throwing it all over the place, not really caring where that seed may or may not land. And some farmers could look at Jesus and say, Jesus, you know, you might be a lot of things, but one thing you're not is a farmer, right? You don't know how to do this. It's much more precise, right? But we would miss the point in that Jesus, as he sows his seed, he will always super abundantly scatter his word all over the earth. And that word will be met in all sorts of different ways by people like you and people like me. You see, the problem in the parable, it's not the sower. And the problem in the parable is not the seed. The problem in the parable is your heart and mine, and its receptivity to God's word and work in our life. So we turn our attention to the soil, and we realize there's kind of three soils that aren't so good and one that's really good, right? And so we begin with that soil that it is like a path that has just been trampled on and beaten down and is hard. And when the word comes and the seed hits that, it never goes beyond the surface, and it's snatched up by birds. Well, when we think about the soil as kind of paralleling your heart and mine, we could simply say this. It's when God's word comes to you and your heart, for whatever reason, is so hardened that it rejects and will not receive the word that Christ is speaking into your life at that moment. And that happens all the time. There's times that people get mad at God, not that he made something bad happen in their life, but people get mad thinking that God could have prevented the bad thing that happened in their life, and their heart hardens, their hearing goes, and when the word comes, it just simply bounces and doesn't do what it could do in your life or in mine. The next type of soil is that which is the rocky soil that Jesus tells us, and he unpacks and he reminds us that this is that seed that seems like it took root in your heart and mind, but then tough times come, challenges come, setbacks come, grief comes, losses come, and when those things happen, the seed is pushed out of our lives and we will not receive it because of the circumstances we find ourselves in. And so again, in a moment where the word could do a great work in that situation, we reject it. We push it away. And thus, are not transformed and are not changed. The last soil that he speaks to is that where it appears again to take root, but the thorns come up and they choke it out. And Jesus helps you and I to understand exactly what that is. It's the things of this world, things that our heart chases after. They are the idols and attachments that we have to the things of this world. And when God's word comes to us, it's those things that distract us and pull our attention away to where our true heart is, which is not on God and what he has to say to us. And that last soil, the good soil, is that soil that God's work through the Holy Spirit accomplishes in you and in me. When he moves in our heart in such a way that we not only are attentive and listen, but we begin to understand this word and we begin to permit this word to do its proper work in our life. And the fruit comes in varying degrees in abundance. And so as we think about this, we ask ourselves, how are we hearing God's word? As reckless as it might seem to outsiders, we know this, that our God is so good and gracious that he will continue to scatter his seed in your life despite the type of soil you're presenting. He will continue to come. He will continue to bring it to you. He will continue to make it possible if you don't push it away to receive it and be transformed by it. And so we ask ourselves, when we go to church, when we hear the readings in the service, when we receive the word in the sacrament, when we hear the word in the message, when we go to Bible study and hear the word, when we're in a small group or in our devotion, what is our level of attentiveness and readiness for God to speak His word into our life? You know, here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Just showing up to the right place doesn't make it happen. People show up all the time to the places where God's word is spoken, read, preached, and taught, and studied. But when the ears of the heart are closed, it doesn't matter. You see, it's not magic. It's not like fairy dust that just gets sprinkled on you and it just happens the way it's supposed to happen. You have to ready yourself and look to this word in a way that might be this: Lord, Your word has met me today. It's come to my ears, but I've acknowledged, You have pointed out that I have a hardness of heart that is preventing me from letting that word go any deeper today. Lord, I repent of that. Or maybe you're hearing the word, but you're so distracted by all the other things going on in your life and in your world that you just won't hear. And you tell yourself, I need to refocus, I need to refocus. And the Lord taps you on the shoulder and says, you're drifting, you're distracted, you're not listening. How many of you have ever started over a devotion or a reading or a prayer because you got distracted? Anyone? Especially if you're listening to it, right? I've done this before where I'm listening and I'm like, it just finished 5 minutes and I have no idea what it just said. And then I'll go through it again, like, you know what, Tim? The problem was is you were distracted. So let's go through it again. And I start really good, and then all of a sudden, a minute in, and I'm like, I've done it again. I've drifted again, right? I mean, sometimes this is what happens, right? But the Spirit allows us to know, you know, that this is a time I sought to engage the Lord, and I just didn't bring my mind with me. Maybe now's not the time. Maybe I need to kind of go and take care of whatever it is I need to take to or care to so that I am ready when I come before the Lord and He is going to speak. Right? And maybe because of the difficulty in the situation you face, maybe you need someone to walk along with you to point you to the goodness of God and who He really is and how His word can do great things in your life. It can heal. It can create. It can reclaim. It can restore. It can forgive. It can do all of these things. But it's not going to do it if we just keep it at a distance. So my prayer this morning for you, for me, is that the work of the Holy Spirit in the process of our hearing Christ's word might help us to see our frame of mind, might help us to see whether or not we're listening, engaging, and allowing God's word to do its full work in us, which might be to turn us to Him in repentance. It might be simply a word of encouragement to keep going. It might be a reminder that God has put people around you to walk with you in this world and to be present near you, especially in the difficult and trying moments of life. So when you drive home, invite the Holy Spirit in and ask yourself, how has my hearing been in the places where God is speaking? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, sometimes it seems perfect that we are ready and we come to Your word wanting, ready, and willing to hear any word that You have for us. And then at other days, Lord, it seems as if we're only going through the motions. Our ears and hearts are closed to what you have to say, and we just go through the motions. But Lord, even in those moments where we fail, you don't stop to scatter your word in our lives. You continue to bring it. You continue, regardless of what others think, to speak to us, even when it seems it's been wasted. And you return again and again and again with that word of life that is a seed filled with your spirit and power. May it be at work in all of our lives and hearts this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.